Thank you, Sister Nancy, for that song. Thank you, Sister Huff, for yours and both beautiful song. I just pray that this morning that the Lord touch these lips today. I'm kind of on the, I don't know what it is. I'm kind of on the nervous side this morning. I don't know why, but I am. But that's okay. But I know the Lord can take control. But this morning, if you will, turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, and we will be reading verses 1 through 9 here in John chapter 1. John chapter 1. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and it comprehendeth it not. Verse 6, "There's a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world." Our Heavenly Father, this morning we want to thank you for being so good to us. And Father, thank you, Lord Jesus, where you walk with each one of us this week. Thank you for the miracles that you performed in each one of our lives this week, Father, allowing us to be able to get up. And Father, allow us to be here at church this morning. It's a miracle. And Father, we thank you for that. Now, Lord Jesus, we thank you for the performance of miracles that you've done this week and Lord Sarah's life, and we thank you for that. And Father, not in just her life, but in other people's lives also. Now, Father, we ask in Lord that you will just perform another miracle here at Faith Baptist Church. Father, that you may bless the people in their efforts and what they have stood for. And God, that we may be able to allow our light to shine. Because, Father, once we accepted you as our personal Lord and Savior, you put that light within our heart and within our soul. But it's up to us, it's up to the individuals, Father, to be able to let that light come forth and shine. And, Father, we do not need to hide the light under a bushel and hide it from people. Because, Father, if we hide it from people, Lord, the people that we're hiding it from are lost. And God, I pray, Father, today that you may stir someone's soul up in here in this church today, this morning, Father. Father, I know, Lord Jesus, in talking to each and every one of the individuals that's here this morning, Father, I believe within my own heart, Lord, that they say they know the Lord as a personal Savior. But Father, there are other people that are not saved. Well, yes, we have family. And we have friends and other individuals that we know that's not saved, Father. And we need to do our part. We need to allow our light to illuminate around us. So, Father, that your Son can be honored and can be glorified from you. Father, we ask, Lord Jesus, that your will be done today. Anoint these words that only you can anoint. And help me, Father, that I may stand behind this sacred desk this morning. And Father, I know I cannot stand here this morning alone without thy help. So Father, you help me with my speech. You help me with my walk. You help me with each and every word. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, we do pray. Amen and amen. We see over here where we've read, and it is speaking about John the Baptist. It's speaking about God the Father. It's speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's speaking about the Holy Spirit. And I believe that you can see the Trinity of God here in these verses where I've just read. And we can see not only in what we've just read, but I believe it's a beginning for the church today that we have been setting aside too long. We have been playing church for too many years. I think it's time that we need to get up and we need to rise up. And we need to say, Satan, get behind us, because we're not going to serve you. That's what he wants to do. He wants to get into our minds. And if he gets into our minds, then he will get into our heart. And then when he gets into our heart, what happens? Then our heart becomes hardened. It will become hardened to the point it has calluses on it. It just wants to do the things that the devil wants us to do. And we need to just lift up the church. We need to lift up each one. We need to lift up the individuals toward other people. You know, I heard somebody this week and they was talking. And they was talking about, I think it was a pastor that was telling me about it. He said that he had some of the people in his church at the time that was coming, and they was, I don't know if they're dissatisfied or what, or they're dissatisfied with their own relationship with the Lord or whatever. But he said that he started hearing other people talk. And they was going out and talking about the church. We should not do that. If we cannot lift up, and if we cannot lift up Faith Baptist Church, if we cannot tell the people that what's going on in the church, we give God all the glory and all the praise for, and he's doing a good work. It's not us. Yes, he's using us. But we must tell people, yes, the Lord is doing something out there. The Lord is doing something at the church. And I don't know if it's still in the sign or not, but I believe Brother Bill put it out there. It was something on that thought about come by. Or visit, or whatever. Who was it, Bill? God's moving. Come and see. God, he is moving. He is not just moving here, but he's moving within the Christian realm. He's just moving in the Christian faith. And that's what we need. We need to have the faith of God in a heart, in a life,
We need to brag about the church, because if we're not going to brag about Faith Baptist Church, who is? If my pastor, if the people there in community, if they don't brag about Community Baptist Church, then who's going to brag about Community Baptist Church? And I said, and me and him was talking this past week, and I said something to him, and I told him, I said, you know, and I was, they had a singing last night, and I apologize, I didn't mention it Wednesday night, and I forgot all about it. But I said, just like I told against them one, I was aiming to go last night. But when I got home, and I don't know what I think it's because my blood's low and everything, but I was so tired, I just didn't have the energy to get it. So I called. Well, I got my wife because I've been in Iowa, and I was thinking about going. And I asked her, I said, can you call Brother James and tell him that I'm not going to be able to make it tonight because I'm just so tired. And I called him this morning, and I wished him a good service, a good service, to have a great service day. If somebody in church is saved or whatever, and has a great number there. And you know, we have done that, and we've said, we're going to try to help each other. And he told me, he said, it was somebody that you want to go visit at the last moment or whatever, and you need somebody to go with you, call me, I'll ride with you. I'll ride with you. And I told him the same thing. I will go with you. We need to work together. I don't understand why Christians have to work against each other. I don't understand why churches has to work against each other. And y'all know that this is true. Have churches around here and in the area, they work against each other. You can't work against each other. We're all going, if you're saved by grace, it doesn't make no difference. If you go to an independent Baptist church or a Southern Baptist church, or if you go to a Pentecostal Holiness, or even if you're a Nazarene or whatever, but if you have ever accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and He has applied the blood to your life, and your name is written there in heaven, we're going to all be there together. And yes, and I know some Catholics that are saved. I mean, I know one individual is a Catholic. He cannot get his wife to leave the Catholic Church and to go with him to a Baptist church. She's not saved. But he says, this would have been here a while back. I mean, it's been years ago. And I don't know if I've even told God. I may have, and I don't know because I don't remember one day to the next day no more sometime. But, you know, his little girl, at that time, she was about 5 or 6 years old. And Christmas was about to come up. And we know that the Christmas itself is for the children. But people, you got some people, they just won't celebrate Christmas. And it's a whole lot more into what that goes on at Christmas. Into the Christmas tree, and people will look up and search it out and everything. It's a meaning there within the Christmas tree and the lights and everything and the presents and all of that. It all can relate back to the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he was telling me, he said, he asked his daughter, and been asking her for a while, and he told us, and now, you got your list ready? Where we can go and take it to Santa Claus and the mall or whatever? He said, no, I haven't got it ready yet. Mama said, "Well, you just ain't got the money." And then Daddy said, "Donna said, we got some for you." And kept on talking to him, and he asked, he says, "Well, really, what would you want?" When Santa Claus was praying. And that's the way to put it. And we know that Santa Claus is just a man, and all of that is not, that's not biblical, but the gifts are. Because the gifts, when your children, when they go and open that gift, or even when we even going up in that gift, a gift is wrapped. We don't know what's in that gift. But before we know what's in that gift, we got to receive that gift. I didn't know what was all about Jesus, but I had to receive Jesus Christ as a gift. And as I did, I learned more about Him. And when I learned more about Him, then I won't lean on so much of the things of the world. And the more I learned about Him, the more I got away from the world. And I know the Bible teaches us that we can be other world. We can, we know that we live in the world, but because we live here, and because we're among with the world and with the people that lives in the world, it does not mean that we need to associate with them as far as in the realm of them maybe telling dirty jokes or telling dirty jokes or standing around and they using foul language or something like that. But you'd be surprised at the Christians now. I mean, I could rephrase that. The so-called Christians, they say they are, they will still stand there and listen to somebody tell a dirty joke. Now, I believe if they're saved, they say, "Well, I'm gone. I'm gone." But talking about this little girl, the only thing she wanted was a Bible. But she wanted the Bible. She went to priest forward and came to God and prayed for her for you. Well, she did. She'd been in school and whatever. They was talking about that in school. And that was when the Gideons was taken and given the Bibles out in school. But her mother wouldn't let her have one. Well, she asked him, "Daddy, the only thing I want is the Bible." But she wanted to be like the other children because she wanted to be a brother, a grown-up or whatever, you know. Well, why should we deny them the things that make them happy? Because they bring us joy. And so many times we will just sit back and we say, "No, we don't believe that. We don't believe that." What does God's word say? Also, that we'll deny the children a little happiness while they're growing up. But yet, we as Christians, we need to practice what we teach them. If they can't have it, we should never have it. Because we're supposed to be the one that set an example for our children. we teach it to them, the right way to live, the right way to grow up, and the right things to do. And if they know the right from wrong and be saved, one thing about it, God's word says,
they may depart. They may separate themselves from the church. They may get away from the Lord.
They'll eventually come back. How many times I've seen where
people or children, if they get saved when they were a teenager or something like that, but then when they get 18 or 19 and they go to college and all that, then they come out of college and then they want to go with them.
Say, do their thing or whatever. Well, they've got the experience life. We can't shelter them. I had an individual one time tell me, it was my supervisor, who's the service manager where I worked at. My daughter was going to Westover at the time, and she was in the 12th grade, and she was going to graduate that year. She had already been working, I think, for 2 years at that time, part-time. Well, she's still working at today, but she's working at part-time. And he told me, he says, when she gets out of high school, she will not know how to defend herself. She will not know how to stand up for what she believes in. She's going to run all over. He said, you watch and see. He said, it's going to happen. Because she's been broke. I know she's a Christian. She's in church. And that's all she's known. He said, now you've had in a Christian school all these years. And now she's graduating. And she's working a public job where she works full time. He said, you watch. Mark it down. I just say to them, it's cool, and I just leave them going, you know, baffle all of them. She's not a pushover. She's not a pushover. And it's not that she's a pushover. I'm not talking about she's a pushover in a fact like hard-headed, it's going to be her way or no way. No, she thinks things right. She has helped me so many times think things out. Well, she goes to court because they deal in rental property too. Instead of being just a CPA, they got that as a second line coming in from the summer, they do real good now. You may have to give up the rental now, but she doesn't, if they don't pay, and she'll work with people. She says, if you come in, and if you ain't got the money, if you ain't got the $10, you can come in, you give me $10. At least I know you're trying to do something. And she works with them. But the ones that don't work with them, she gives 30 days. But they still won't work with them. I got an individual dying, and she'll go to court and she'll get, get out or whatever. But we go and evacuate and whatever, and I wouldn't say. But she goes to court and takes them to court to get the money. And she stands up before the judge. And she's got a judge. One judge died, and she went alive. I ain't never seen as good as I really liked. But she really, you know, she really liked him, and he liked her. But she's not no pushover. She's not gonna allow somebody to run over her. And I'll tell you something. Don't allow her to hear what somebody's talking about her mama or her daddy. I know she's a lady, but I wouldn't want to go over there. But I think she can claw away everything.
But you know, we need to let people know where we can stand. And that's the purpose of this, the nine verses here. That's what Jesus was telling. That's what John the Baptist was telling. They thought John the Baptist here was the man. He said, no, I'm not the man. I'm just the one to come and bear witness other men. I'm just the one to come to tell you. And it says in verse 34, and I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. He was the Son of God. He is the Son of God. We can get, and over in verse 35 says, again the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. How many times have you ever heard Jesus speak to you? Have you ever heard it? Have you? I have. Not an audible voice. If what tells us to do right, that's not the devil. That's the Lord Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. Just like in the book of John speaks about the Comforter. That's none other than the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. The Comforter that can comfort our hearts, comfort our souls when we're down and out. And I'm going to be, and I know that it's not a one in here that has not faced some type of trial. But who brought you through the trial? Was it your family? Was it your son, your daughter, your grandchildren? He's the Comforter. But see, he comforts our heart. Like Friday when Brother Bill and Sister Donna and all of them was at the hospital up there. The Holy Spirit was there. The Comforter was there. Was comforting them. Even in the time that, yes, they were sad. But it doesn't, the Bible doesn't teach us that we need to, that we cannot be sad, because we have the Comforter that takes over the emotions that we have. And we have the Lord Jesus Christ. That would answer. The Bible said that we ask. We should ask. We should seek. And
which it is not. Ask, seek, and knock. Take the first letter out of all three words we've got. Ask. We receive not because we ask not. I pray that God will open a door and He will give me the church that He wants me to have. And I thank God for it. Because God has given me, I believe, a church that loves God. A church that wants to further on the ministry that has been started here. And my prayer is that when the Lord's time comes with through the rapture, that I'm going to be in the pulpit or I'm going to be somewhere out here, maybe talking to someone, but I'm going to be still serving the Lord right here when I hear the final thunder. When I hear that final sound. And the people that's not saved, they're not going to hear it. You have some preachers say, oh yeah, they hear the sound. How can they hear the sound? Because that sound is just for the believer in the Bible. That's what the sound is for. The sound is for the believer in Christ. So, I know some independent Baptist preachers that preaches from the King James Bible believe that when Jesus Christ, and I believe Jesus Christ mentioned, because I don't play it. I believe that's how close it is. But now he's waiting on the final order from God the Father to give him. And he says, son, now it's time. And I believe that's all the Father's going to say. It's time. Because when it says that, the Lord Jesus Christ knows exactly what he means. It's time for him now to tell Gabriel to blow that trumpet. For he can bring his family home. His family home. What does it say in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4? It says over the blessing, what does it say? The dead in Christ, shall rise first. Then the ones that are remaining, the ones which are remaining, will be caught up together in the air with them. And I cannot understand how they can get in blowing their trumpet that it means that the lost will hear the sound also. Because see, that sound is for the Christian, for the Lord Jesus Christ to bring us home. As far as I know, at the judgment seat of Christ, ain't going to be no lost soul left. Oh, it's going to be some, we're going to probably think, well, how do they know? Gonna be some people there that we don't expect gonna be there. And that's gonna be some people that we use without a shadow of a doubt. They did that. But what did it say in the book of Matthew?
In the book of Matthew, and I cannot remember all what it says here, but it says right here in Matthew chapter. I but if I got a loop. I think it's in chapter 7. Yeah. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. And this right here is the danger of profession without faith. That's speaking of an individual coming to the altar. Yes, and saying the words and asking the Lord Jesus Christ to save them. But if they don't believe it by faith, they're not saved. They got to believe it by faith and they got to trust Him. And but it says in verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that worketh iniquity. See, them words right there in verse 23, them words not right there is not going to be said from the Lord Jesus Christ. None of these words right here is going to be said at the judgment seat of Christ. Only time any of these words is going to come forth is at the judgment. The white throne judgment. The judgment seat of Christ, the bema seat. And then you've got the white throne judgment. That's the ones that's going to say, Lord, what, didn't I go out there? Weren't I in church that Sunday? And the Lord said, yeah. You said, Lord, Lord. Then you prophesied in my name. Then you went out and cast out many demons. What are they doing today on TV?
I write that tells you what they do on TV. It tells you what a whole lot of these preachers are doing on TV now. They are about, Lord, Lord, allow us to meet our goal for this month. They ain't never said anything about our goal for this month. We need a goal this month. We need at least 100 souls to come forth and be saved this month. No, they come up and say, Lord, you know that we need to fund the crown this ministry. The only goal that they need to set, and the only goal that we need to set here, is seeing how many individuals that we can witness to, that we can win them to the Lord. That's what it's all about. That's the reason God saved my soul, and I'm so thankful to it. I'll tell you one thing. As far as me getting saved, probably one of you at this time in my life, most joyful. I didn't think I could be any more happy. Now, I've been married to my wife for going on almost 44, 46, I don't know how many years it is, man. But you know, yes. She, you know, she's made me happy. She loves me, and I know that. I love her. But she don't come before my Lord. And I should not come before her, Lord. But one thing about it, like I said, I thought I was a happy. And everything was going fine, was going really good, and everything. But boy, when I hit the door stop of the when the Lord led me to that first 10 feet, He put the very words in my mouth. That's something like that will do for you, like nothing else. Now, salvation's wonderful. I think the next one, the best thing of thing is being the text. The word which God gives is someone who works. Man, you'll run, you'll get back in the automobile, and you can get back to walk into the car or whatever, and you'll be bubbling over. And I know y'all have heard the song talk about, you know, when my cup burneth over, it will run over. It will run over until you decide you don't want to run over no more. When you decide you don't want to run over no more, it's when you decide, well, you know, one somebody, Lord, this week, I think I'm going to stay in this week. I'm going to do other things. Time to get to the end of the week, I'm tough from that end. That's just like a whole lot of people I don't understand. And I can't, I don't understand people, how some people can come to church on Sunday morning and they hear the message from God, but yet you don't see them again until next week. I mean, sometimes I think they just got one of these mopeds where they can fill a moped up and they can go for days and days and days and not be filled, and then not have to go and fill the gas tank up. You know, the Lord is, I don't know what kind of engine He's got, but He's given me one of the powerful, I reckon, with the three boosters and all of that, and everything is all revved up and everything. I need to be back in God's house on Sunday afternoon. I need to be back to be filled up. I need to be back to where it encourages me. But Tuesday and Wednesday. Then I need to come back Wednesday to be encouraged for Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. We need encouragement. Who gives us encouragement? You. Who gives me encouragement? You do. The Lord does, I know. But you give me encouragement too. And I know sometimes that I've been up and I've just rambled. Well, I just rambled, and I know, you know, maybe you didn't get nothing out of the message. But you encourage me the next week to study some a little bit or pray a little more. And it's time. Well, with hiding our length and our life. The Bible also speaks about, well, you should not hide this land and life under a bushel basket. That's what people can see. If we do anything, it should be hidden under a piece of paper, and that paper's right there to flame, where that flame can just ignite once again. We need to let our life illuminate in this dark world. Would you ask me God to help us? Some things hurt worse than others. But we all hurt. We have got to be united with each other. We've got to come to one body. Our Father,
we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. And Father, I apologize for the way that I rambled this morning. But Father, we know, Lord Jesus, that you can take each word that was said. And Father, that you can take them and you can put them in order. So the people that's here can say, yes, they got something from it. And yes, Father, we know, Lord, we all have things in our lives that we don't understand. But we have to trust you. We have to trust you and we have to obey you. And Father, we pray this week, Lord Jesus, you will be with each one of us. Father, be with us this afternoon, Lord. And Father, I pray, God, that you'll bring everyone back this evening. And Father, maybe some more people may want to come in. Some visitors may want to come. We do not know what you have for us tonight. But Lord, I know it's going to be wonderful. And Father, in touch me, Father, that I may be able to go out this week and witness to someone. And that someone will finally say that they played church too long. And they were just playing church and they're not saved. We pray, God, that you would just help them. Speak to our hearts in the name of Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
222.
222. There is a fountain.
222.
Thank you.